morning, Mr. President.
Any news?
Well, we do have some reports on the results of the air action last night.
Any bad news?
No bad news, no, sir. The recon flights, the armed reconnaissance.
I don't believe I can take any bad news.
We had no trouble whatsoever with those. There were damage to trucks and four railroad cars destroyed, and they also tore up a few bridges.
What about that? I thought we were...
That big one up north, they were unable to reach the target due to adverse weather conditions. And so they hit a secondary target, Hon Matt Island, which is in that general vicinity. They also dropped leaflets on Ninh Binh, which is 55 miles south of Hanoi. And all aircraft returned safely.
Anything on this Colonel Fernandez being killed?
Yes, we do have a report which we're preparing now and going to send up to you here in just a
Hope
few minutes.
Hope to God we didn't do it.
Bundy says it's absolute rot that we should be accused of doing it, but of course the rebel radio was playing it up that we did. As I see it, it looks like it really is unknown at the present time. I'm sure they'll come up with an official reading on it. What they did, they got in between the palace and our troops, and they shot at our troops, and our troops shot back, and the palace shot also, so they were caught in a crossfire there. And we not only was this Fernandez killed, but also a ranking member of the 14th of June party. 14th of June Central Committee. We were very pro-communist. But the Ambassador Bennett points out that the fact that the two of these gentlemen were side by side is a rather interesting point.
Said what?
And I do have...
What Ambassador Bennett said what?
That the fact that the hardcore communists and Fernandez were fighting side by side in this probe against the palace was an interesting point.
Were they fighting? Were they armed?
Yes, they were armed, and they were making a probing attack on the palace, which is, of course, held by the loyalists.
Well, now, why were we firing at all?
Well, because we were fired upon by them. They were right in between the line of communication and the palace, and they turned around and fired on the U.S. position there. So they were indeed caught in a crossfire.
Why do you think it's rot then? Looks like we were firing at them. Why do you think it's rot?
Well, let's see what he says here. I got it here right here someplace.
Does he say the agreement's off?
No, they're still working with that. I do have a late cable here from Bundy and also one from Bodler that we're preparing to send up to you. I'm trying to find the comments there that he made about that.
Read the late cable.
All right. He starts out saying that this has been a day of much movement, by a day meaning yesterday, but conclusions are hard to find. Most important event is the capture of Radio Santo Domingo by Imbert. This evening, he agreed again with Bennett that the station should be run by the OAS. Moreover, he agrees with us that the OAS umbrella should shelter firm U.S. management. He has a promise.
What now?
He, being Imbert, agrees with us that the OAS umbrella should shelter firm U.S. management. This is of the radio station. He has promised to announce this decision Thursday morning. Imbert, is holding a press conference this morning. We all believe that now is the time for Don Wilson to come. He should be here Thursday without fail, and he should be ready to stay a while. He is not needed tonight because station is still on the blink. Next most important event is rapid Imbert advance in area north of the line of communication. This advance has no final strategic value to Imbert because it does not touch real rebel stronghold, but it lifts morale far beyond its real meaning. And there is no Guzman solution in sight tonight that would not be rejected out of hand by Imbert and loyalist military. This does not mean that Guzman's solution is impossible. I continue to believe it makes more sense than any other, but I do not think it can be concluded at an acceptable cost until Imbert and company find out that their small victories north of the line of communication have no lasting value. They must learn again that rebels will probably remain in control of the heart of the city, which is heart of the country. Imbert forces cannot dislodge them, and our forces will not, if it can be avoided. Further block to early settlement, but not to a later solution, is reported death of Fernandez in attack on Imbert-held palace. This will shock Bosch deeply, though Guzman has taken it calmly. Utterly cynical rebel assertion that U.S. shot him in the back is seen for what it is by Guzman, but Ken Mino is on the air making as much emotional noise as possible. Unless commies killed him in Spanish war style, Fernandez died the soldier's death he partly sought, and three U.S. Marines were wounded resisting rebel action about the same time. A hot fire front and back are silly words, but rebels will be stirred, and Guzman will be rightly reinforced in his growing conviction that the men downtown are in no mood for reason. Meanwhile, Solomon and company are at work, and the country is not, repeat not, falling apart. In this situation, I think we probably need a carefully staged pause. No solution appears possible now, but we should soon have on the side of peace the following: A, time; B, the end of the northern battle; and C, Radio Santo Domingo. Both Imbert and rebels should learn in coming days that neither of them is going to win a war. Radio Santo Domingo should be preaching peace. Solomon should be practicing good works. By continued firmness, Palmer should be able to prove that the U.S. is the one real power on the scene. This pause can be signaled by our return or by ostentatious settling in. On either basis, we strongly believe we should be authorized to begin judicious briefing of press and equally judicious contacts with other persons here. We can spread message of peace and reconciliation to all if we are authorized to do so. It is time. Meanwhile, this evening, we gave Guzman draft documents sent forward in our 1824, which we sent up to you last night. And we also discussed present shape of cabinet. He kept documents for study, and he apparently wants to send Bosch both of them. We will stall on this pending your advice, because private document is pretty hot. On cabinet, Guzman showed usual tendency to backslide a little toward Democratic Revolutionary Party friends, and usual tendency to do better when pressed. Details follow in separate telegram. I floated notion of brief delay in reaching final solution on grounds that both sides were in a bad mood for compromise. He did not quarrel, but he did ask that any return of Washington team be accompanied by noises which would leave him in business. I reassured him that Guzman's solution remained our choice. It remains to report Guzman Aminama contact. I'm not sure that. A-M-I-A-M-A. Amiana contact. First meeting was correct, and there will be another Thursday morning at 10. We think the two men respect each other. We think they also have a long way to go before their minds really meet. We continue to think that their conversations can only do good, and we will press them to keep on, but we will not use our biggest guns to seek immediate paper agreement between them unless you tell us to. If only because Amiama will not, repeat not, agree to serve under Guzman at this stage. This agreement is still my strong hope, but all concern must be softened by a little time before it will be possible. Specifically, he will accept only if his comrades in arms agree, and tonight they see no need for what they call a, quote, surrender to Bosch. Moreover, he certainly will have a view of his own on critical question of Army Chief of Staff, and we strongly doubt that he could accept Laura Fernandez. Vance thinks De Leon or Valdez may still be key here. So let us make haste slowly, and let us explain why. Okay, last sentence, it's Vance generally concurs.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.